Time now for the sunny side of sports with Sunny Young. Happy Tuesday, Sunny.
Happy Tuesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have a look back at the recent Africa Cup of Nations football tournament.
Kim, joining us once again for that Nations Cup look back is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sunny.
David, the 30th Africa Cup of Nations football tournament is now history. Ivory Coast wins its second trophy. Bit of deja vu in Bata. The Ivorians prevailing by another long penalty kick shootout, just as they did in 1992 when they also beat Ghana. Your thoughts on the final, David?
It was almost like an action replay of 1992. Ivory Coast and Ghana, no goals after 120 minutes. In 1992, Sunny, they needed 24 penalties to settle the issue. And this time they needed 22. And how ironic that at the end of the day, it was right down to the two goalkeepers. I mean, the last people you would expect to be scoring goals. Ivory Coast started a penalty shootout very badly. They had their first shot against the woodwork and the second wide. So Ghana had an early 2-0 lead. But then they failed to convert the next two penalties. Ivory Coast scored from both. So now it was 2-2. And then the drama really unfolded, Sonny, with both sides converting under a lot of pressure and doing very well. And then it crept up to 8 penalties each from 10 kicks. And then it was the turn of the two goalkeepers. And what Boubacar Barry did was he saved from Brema. He then dusted himself down, went to the penalty spot, and slotted the ball past Brema for the winning penalty. And it was quite ironic, Sonny, that it should be Boubacar Barry, because he, for many years now, and I've certainly been among those, has been under severe criticism. He has been seen as the real weak link in this Ivorian elephants lineup. I think our views were borne out by the fact that during this tournament, it was actually Sylvain Gbaou who took over as the number one goalkeeper, but he was injured in the semi-final victory over the DR Congo. In comes Barry. He doesn't concede a goal during 120 minutes, and then he converts the decisive penalty, so a real fairy tale for him. Looking at the comments he made afterwards, he seems to be a very humble person. He dedicated the victory, not to himself or not even to the present team, but he said it's to the stars of the previous teams that had built the foundations.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Sad in a way, Sonny, that Didier Drogba missed out because he retired from international football. But some of the so-called golden generation did finally get those winners' medals, and they include the Touré brothers, Kolo and Yaya. Also, Sonny, a great final for Hervé Renard. He becomes the first coach ever in Cup of Nations history to win the title with two different countries. In 2012, it was Zambia, ironically against the Ivory Coast, and also, I guess, ironically, after yet another penalty shootout. Now, Hassan Shahata of Egypt and Charles Gamfi of Ghana, they have won three titles as opposed to the two of Reynard. But in the case of Shahata, it was always Egypt, and in the case of Gamfi, it was always Ghana. So congratulations to Hervé Renard, who I must say is not only very popular with Ivorian football supporters, but certainly here in South Africa, Sonny, the females, they just love this coach very, very much.
I think maybe it has something to do with him dancing shirtless, David, after the match.
Oh, I would never suggest something like that, Sonny. You know, I was just concentrating on the football. He's a very media-savvy man. You saw those shots of him during the penalty shootout. He's very conscious of when he's on camera, but congratulations to Renard. He reminds me a lot of Philippe Trouthier, the white witch doctor who came to Africa a couple of decades ago, also a Frenchman, although Trouthier perhaps with a slightly shorter temper than Renard. Renard seems to be a very patient man. And let's give credit to Renard, too, because he didn't start off well, Sonny. If we go back to late last year to the qualifiers, Ivory Coast suffered a couple of humiliating losses. I'm thinking particularly of that 4-1 defeat in Yaoundé against Cameroon. And then, perhaps even more shocking, a 4-3 defeat in Abidjan, the great fortress of Ivorian football, against the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's been a long, long time since Ivory Coast have conceded 4 goals in any game, never mind in 2 games within the one qualifying competition. But Renard kept us cool. He also had a tough start in the Equatorial Guinea Group D. held 1-1 by both Mali and Guinea. And then came what he said after the final was a crucial victory over Cameroon by 1-0. He felt that was a good Cameroon side, and he felt that by beating them, he believed that Ivory Coast could go all the way. Then if we go forward slightly, Sonny, to the quarterfinals, in many ways to me, this was the final before the final when they beat Algeria 3-1. The Algerians certainly had their chances in that game. They could have beaten the Ivorians, and Renard later said that, in fact, Algeria were the better team on the day. But goals by Wilfred Bonny, two of them from headers, made all the difference. The Ivorians were clearly too good for the DR Congo in the semi-final. And then in the final itself, Sonny, which was not, from a neutral fan's perspective, particularly exciting game, the Ivorians struck me that priority number one was not to lose, and it seemed almost to be the same at the Ghanaians. But the Ghanaians can feel hard done by that they didn't win after 90 minutes because twice they were denied by the woodwork. A great strike by Atsu midway through the first half swerved past Barry and came back off the post. And then later in the first half, from a very tight angle, Andre Ayew also struck the woodwork with Barry beaten. And that's also sad for their recently appointed coach, Avram Grant, because he, in 2008, was the manager of Chelsea, and they played Manchester United in the UEFA Champions League final in Moscow, 1-1 after extra time, penalties, and Chelsea lost. So for the next few days, Sonny, don't mention the words penalty shootout to Avram Grant.
David, you mentioned Ivory Coast beating DR Congo in the semifinals. The Leopards from the DRC salvaged some pride by winning the third-place match over host Equatorial Guinea. How about a look back at that game?
Yeah, not an awful lot to remember from that one, Sonny. 0-0 and then 4-2 on penalties for the DR Congo. But interestingly, the first time we've had a third-place match without any goals, and that's going way back to 1962. Not a particularly good game, but I suppose, Sonny, from a news perspective, the big issue was the fact that it was trouble-free because it was held in the same Malabo Stadium where 48 hours before you had this rioting and 36 people injured, 14 of them requiring hospital treatment after the semi-final between Ghana and Equatorial Guinea. I have noticed with a great deal of anger, the CAF president, Issa Hayatou, has lashed out at the Western media, basically accusing them of fabricating the situation. Now, it's all very well for Mr. Hayatou. He's up there in the VIP area, well protected from, among other objects, Sonny, and I've seen the photographs, so it's a fact, a jagged piece of a half-broken mirror, also a plate that was broken. And if you're hit by a flying plate, you can get killed. It's as simple as that. There were also flying broken chairs, etc., etc. It was no fun in that stadium, particularly if you were a supporter of Ghana. At the time, the Ghana Football Association, the GFA, they made several tweets, and in one of them they specifically said that it is like a war zone. That's what they described the stadium as, a war zone. And that's a pretty strong word coming from any football official. And then they talked about barbaric acts of violence. But then, amazingly, 24 hours later, the same Ghanaian official, he was lauding the fact that Issa Hayatou had played such a wonderful role in the staging of the 2015 Cup of Nations at short notice in Equatorial Guinea after Morocco pulled out because of fears over the Ebola epidemic. The likes of Mr. Hayatou, they might feel very good for themselves and the fact that they're lashing out at the media. But I think, Sonny, all of us, whether we were actually there in the stadium or watching it on TV or perhaps listening to radio,
Voice of America,
realized exactly what happened. And for those 36 people who were injured, I don't think they for one second believed that the media were exaggerating anything. It was a very ugly, dangerous situation. I've looked, Sonny, at the media coverage, both from Africa and from the West, meaning Europe, which seems to be a particular concern of President Hayatou. And I didn't see any exaggeration. What I saw, actually, was basically factual reporting of a very ugly situation and one that sadly marred what in many ways was a very successful and good tournament.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
They're playing basketball. We're
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Golden State Warriors improved the league's best record with an 89-84 road victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Warriors now have a record of 41 wins and 9 losses. Guard Stephen Curry, who will start for the Western Conference in Sunday's annual NBA All-Star Game, led the Warriors with 20 points. Elsewhere, the Atlanta Hawks defeated the host Minnesota Timberwolves 117-105. Atlanta is right behind Golden State in the overall league standings with 43 victories and 10 defeats. Al Horford, who also will play in Sunday's All-Star Game, led the Hawks with 28 points. And let's give quick Sunnyside of Sports shout-outs for two other Atlanta players, Paul Millsap and Jeff Teague, who also were selected for the All-Star Game. Meanwhile, perennial All-Star Kevin Durant poured in a game-high 40 points Monday night to lead the Oklahoma City Thunder to a 124-114 victory over the Denver Nuggets. In other results, my beloved Washington Wizards waved their wands once again and beat the visiting Orlando Magic 96-80. The Miami Heat beat the New York Knicks 109-95. The Los Angeles Clippers topped the Dallas Mavericks 115-98. The Utah Jazz edged the New Orleans Pelicans 100-96. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets 103-97. And the defending NBA champion San Antonio Spurs, playing on the road, edged the Indiana Pacers 95-93. Now, Sunday's NBA All-Star Game will be played at Madison Square Garden in New York City, the home arena of the New York Knicks Club. The Knicks have the worst record in the NBA with 10 wins and 42 losses. But one happy note, Knicks